The Drum Candy Podcast is brought to you by Drum Factory Direct.
Welcome into episode 3 of season 6 of the Drum Candy Podcast. This is your host, Mike Dawson, coming to you from Drum Factory Direct in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. If you live anywhere near Pittsburgh and you don't have anything to do, on April 28th, head over to Hawthorne Drum Shop where we are co-sponsoring a masterclass with the great Carter McLean. He's going to be there from 4 to 7 with a 4 to 6 window for a real up-close masterclass where I think we have a couple kits set up. So you can play it for him. He'll explain some things he's been working on. It's going to be a great hang. So if you're interested, it is $99 a ticket. You can purchase your tickets at Eventbrite. Just search for Hawthorne Drum Shop or Carter McLean Masterclass and you'll find it. That is in sponsorship with the Pennsylvania chapter of the Percussive Arts Society, Istanbul AGOP, Evans, Promark, Hawthorne Drum Shop, Drum Factory Direct, and the Drum Candy Podcast. Again, that is April 28th. We'd love to see you there from 4 to 6 for the Carter McLean Masterclass. In this week's episode, I want to share some lesson material that I've been working on with some students and myself to help develop independence in a creative, musical, and logical way. I'm calling it practical independence. We're doing the first two parts here. This is designed for anyone who plays drum set, period. Any style, rock, jazz, pop, funk, hip hop, improvisation, whatever you play, you're going to need this. So I'm breaking it down very simply, starting out at first with just a single limb ostinato and then single limb melodies played over that. So let's break it down. I like to start with the quarter note. So take your dominant hand, whichever one plays time on the ride cymbal or hi-hat, and just play quarter notes with that hand. Pick a tempo that's nice and slow. I've got my metronome at 70. So our ostinato is just continuous quarter notes. I'm going to play on the bell of this ride cymbal. Super simple. At any level of playing, if you can keep a steady beat and you can hold a drumstick, you can play that ostinato. So you can play that on any sound. You can play it on closed hi-hat, a cowbell, ride cymbal, rims. It doesn't matter. Just pick a sound and stick with it. So your dominant hand plays quarter notes. Now we're going to work through all the possible 16th note and triplet subdivisions with the other hand. If you need a reference, highly recommend Benny Greb's Language of Drumming book and DVD set. That kind of explains this concept of subdividing and grid-based practice that's been used often. Gary Chafee years ago had taught this way, and most like marching band and drumline concepts are taught this way. But the Benny's Language of Drumming is also one of the finest manuals for this. So we're going to take the left hand in my case because I'm right hand dominant, and I'm going to just play a single 16th note on the downbeat for 4 times, and I'm going to shift it to the E, into the and then to the Pretty simple, but also there's some challenge there. The whole time I'm subdividing the 16th notes in my head, so even though I'm only playing 2 of those notes, the whole time there's this 1E and a 2E and a 3E and a cycling through my brain. I'm trying to make it as consistent and precise as possible. I'm playing the notes as evenly and kind of as strictly as possible because we want to focus on precision and accuracy. So I'm just hitting dead center. And that's the exercise. So do that first. Master those 4. Get them super locked. And then the next step, which I have everyone do, all my students and myself included, with just those 4 possible placements, no dynamics, no articulation, improvise with just those 4 ideas. So in each quarter note, you can play the snare drum either on the downbeat, the E, the and, or the and just try to create some sort of logical phrase that makes sense in 2 and 4 bar cycles. So those were 4 bar phrases, whether you were counting along or not. Hopefully, if you're counting along, you can hear how I'm gradually adding more ideas or repeating things that kind of fit within a four-bar structure. Really important to internalize that concept of two and four-bar phrasing while you do this. And I'm trying to play them as accurately as possible and as consistently as possible. I did hit a rim shot on the first note, so you probably heard that. That wasn't intentional. But that's that's the first kind of improvisation creativity step. Just make up phrases using that bare minimum content of a single 16th note, either on the E, the and, the or the downbeat. The next thing that I like to do is experiment with different sounds on the snare drum. So whatever hand you're playing the snare drum with, there's a range of sounds you have at your disposal. Where you're hitting on the drum head, where you're hitting on the drumstick, you can hit rim shots. There's like rim shots that just use the tip and a little bit of the shoulder, or full rim shots. You've got your full dynamic range between super soft and super loud. Rim clicks, buzzes, doubles, dead strokes. Even with your rim clicks, you have a bunch of variation depending on where you're hitting on the hoop and how much of the wood is extending over the rim. You can also put the butt end of the stick over the rim and get like a kind of a hybrid rim click snare drum note that's an homage to Lloyd Nibb of Skatalites. So that's the next step. Before I would put the quarter note in, just experiment with your snare drum with your, in my case, the left hand, whatever hand you're using to play the snare drum. Just try some different sounds. Slowly, just hit the drum different ways to kind of give a concept of, you know, what's your palate within the single instrument. So no tempo, just experimenting with sound. Sounds kind of silly. Sounds like a kid just smacking a snare drum around. But it's important to kind of establish your sonic palette. You know, there's a lot of options. I didn't even hit the rim, just hitting the rim or hitting the shell. You could turn the wires off. So just explore your instrument and get familiar with all the different sounds and textures, because that's going to be your expression when you really start improvising. So now go back to improvising simple single note ideas. This time you have all of those dynamics and all of those articulations and different sounds available. You're going to see that your music now becomes vastly more interesting and never-ending. So same thing, four-bar phrases, single notes, either on the downbeat, the E, the and, or the Right, so I don't know the math of how many options, but we went from having four options, which was either on downbeat to E, the and, or the at one single dynamic, exponentially, because each of those notes can be played in thousands of different ways, at least hundreds of different ways. So that's something to just sit with, explore. Don't forget about the quarter note, trying to keep that consistent. I allow the quarter note to go up and down dynamically to kind of shape along with the snare drum solo, but you can maybe just decide to be super strict with that and keep that at one dynamic and work on the independence of your dynamics between hands. So there's a whole lot to explore with that. The next thing is to take that hand that's playing the melody, in my case it's the left hand. Now you can move it around to all the other instruments on your drum set that aren't playing a quarter note. So I've got a snare drum, I've got two toms, I've got a crash cymbal, and I've got a hi-hat. And each of these instruments has hundreds of different nuanced sounds that you can explore. So now you've got infinite options. You can create a lot, you know, much more interesting and melodic ideas with it. So this is where you can really kind of get lost and spend hours and hours and hours. So again, keep it simple. Single 16ths on the downbeat, the E, the and, or the and that's it. And just explore your drum set, trying to make cohesive 2- and 4-bar phrases. Many ideas to explore, getting some motivic idea where you kind of play the same idea repeatedly, maybe vary it with dynamics or the articulations or with the rate, if you're using, you know, shorter phrases, longer phrases, introduce a new character and then explore that relationship of that character. And like the crash came in later, so then that became a character that's having a conversation with the other three that were already going on. And then when I brought in the hi-hat, that was a new character. You've got hidden pieces of the hardware. I mean, there's so many ideas to explore. Just limit your options to just that single 16th note until you feel like you've exhausted it. You could probably keep going further. I did hear myself play an which technically was incorrect, even though I was thinking single notes. But I played an which is actually two notes dividing up the quarter note. So now we'll go back and start over with exploring all of the 2 16th note options. That's one E, one and, one E and, E and then and So back to the beginning, snare drum, single volume, get all those subdivisions rock solid. Once those are super solid, you feel like you've got good control over them, I will do the same thing, explore dynamics and sonics with just a single instrument, just a snare drum, get those happening, make some music out of it, then start orchestrating it. So I'm going to go right to the final step with the two notes, which is playing a melodic solo using 2 16th notes per quarter note, one or two. You can always go back to just using a single note. Using all of the sounds on the drum set available to my left hand while the right hand plays quarter notes. You can tell so many different stories depending on, you know, I came in loud with the crash and the toms were kind of countering that. I mean, just think of storytelling, think of simple, basic melodic ideas that you can return to. So just don't overwhelm yourself by planning too many ideas. Just pick something simple, explore it, and then let it evolve somewhere else. It's kind of the classic way to learn about storytelling. Introduce a character, introduce another character. They have some sort of interaction. Ultimately, there's some sort of conflict and then resolution. So think of just telling a basic story with your non-dominant hand while the tempo of the story is being controlled by that dominant hand playing quarter notes. Now you would go back and do three notes with the non-dominant hands. You have three 16th notes that can be one E and, or one E or one and or E and and explore that first, get it comfortable in a single sound, and then explore nuances and articulations, and then improvise. I'm going to go straight to the final step, just for the sake of brevity. I'm going to be improvising ideas using 3/16th notes maximum per quarter note, but I can always go back to two or one or none, and just kind of see what our ideas are. And I'm going to try to find things I haven't done before, different ways of splitting up the 16ths or whatever, and see what kind of music I can make. I hope you heard the mistake I made where I changed the ostinato part. Whatever was happening in the left hand just threw my right hand off. Just to make sure you don't skip over some combinations that might trip you up when you get into the creative process, which is what this is all about. Can you be expressive and musical and interesting over a single quarter note pulse? Again, some mistakes were made, but I didn't let it derail my ideas. I didn't let it derail my control of the overall pulse and the overall arc of the story. But I did, like, as the mistakes happened, I thought, okay, that was a... Because I was doing a three-note grouping, and I started splitting it, something was just unfamiliar. So I will go back and hit those as a practice routine later. But overall, I'm happy that I went for some things that I'd never done before, and I discovered some blind spots that I now have to practice. So that's the whole point. When you get into the improvisation, that is testing your fluency. How well have you mastered the core root vocabulary words to then speak in a unique, interesting, and completely off-the-cuff fashion? I tripped over my tongue a little bit, so I'm going to have to go back and work on the vocabulary a little bit more. Try them in different contexts, just work out the mechanics of them. So that's what the improvisation, it tests your fluency, it tests, you know, how well do you know the material, how free are you to try things you've never tried before and not have it completely fall apart. So each time you do it, try some new ideas, discover things you can't do, go back and practice those little chunks of ideas, and then it'll just keep adding to your vocabulary. So that's the goal. That is the first step, quarter notes with your dominant hand, 1, 2, 3, and 4/16th notes. I would go back and do the exact same thing with triplets, the whole process. You know, one triplet, two triplet partials, three triplet partials, single source, one volume, different articulations, different orchestrations. And then you have all the ideas of triplets and sixteenths that an improvise over this quarter note. I'm going to try that. I'm now going to improvise with sixteenths and triplets in any combination, any orchestration, any dynamic, any articulation over a simple quarter note pulse. That gives you so many things to think about when you're shifting between subdivisions and all the independence that's involved in making those different subdivisions work over quarter note, and then writing melodic ideas that you can superimpose over sixteenths and triplet subdivisions to create different variations. So at that point, you're now a composer. You're spontaneously composing on drum set over a steady pulse.
Forks Drum Closet, Nashville's full-line drum store. Celebrating its 40th year in business, Forks is independently owned and operated in the heart of Music City. Specializing in drums and percussion, Forks offers great discounts on all major brands and will beat any retailer's advertised price. From new and used equipment, vintage drums, and marching and orchestral instrument, Forks has something for every drummer. They also offer professional rental, repair, and restoration services, as well as drum lessons. Stop by their storefront at 308 Chestnut Street in Nashville, Tennessee, or call 615-383-8343, or go online at ForksDrumCloset.com.
So there's, again, take your time with it. Go back and work on it step by step. Each time you make a mistake, try to keep going, and then try to go for whatever it was that you were going for again. See if it was just a fluke mishap, or if it's literally something you don't understand and you got to go back and break it down, maybe write it out or turn it into a, you know, a technique exercise, but then quickly get back into improvising and creating new ideas. So that's it for a single quarter note pulse with your dominant hand and being completely free to do sixteenths or triplet melodic solos with the other hand. So we're pretty much a half hour in, and we've only done dominant hand ostinato and non-dominant hand melodies. We have two more limbs to work with, so we're going to end this lesson with exploring the bass drum over the quarter note and then the hi-hat foot over the quarter note. So just like before, you want to improvise ideas. First, you want to work out the mechanics of, can you play a single 16th note on the beat, the E, the and, or the with the bass drum over this quarter note? And then, can you improvise simple single note phrases? Once that feels comfortable, play two notes, two sixteenths per quarter note, work through all the subdivisions, and then improvise ideas, three notes, work through all the placements, improvise four notes, there's only one placement, and then improvise freely with sixteenth notes with the bass drum. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to do all the single note combinations, two-note combination. I'm going to go through all the combinations, basically. Single, double, triple, and then four. Just four times each. And then I'm going to take 2 bars break while the ostinato keeps going. And then I'm going to try to improvise a solo that uses all that material. that was a lot of practice condensed into one thing. I would spend just as much time on the single 16ths, technically, and improvising, and then the two notes, two 16ths, different placements, technically practice them, and then improvise three and four. Jumping into it like that right away, unless you have complete control of all those different subdivisions and placements, you're probably going to struggle and miss some really important practice. So take your time. That was just a quick summary. That was me testing my own fluency with that material. I think it's okay. There's not a ton of articulations available to you with the bass drum. This is a pretty wide open and jazz-tuned drum, so I do have the option to bury the beater to get a closed sound versus an open sound. So let me just quickly improvise something that uses those two different sounds. I have never tried to do four open bass drum notes and then four closed bass drum notes in a row. So that was the new thing. Will I ever do it in the real world? Maybe. Who knows? But it's just something I've never done before. So now I have something I can practice is experimenting with combining open and closed notes within denser groupings. I've done a lot of open, you know, simple ideas where some of the notes are bury the beat or some of the notes are off. But I've never really messed with, you know, mixing in open and buried ideas within groupings of four or six. So I just discovered something for myself that I'm kind of interested to explore and see where it goes. Might be a dead end, but either way, it's good practice. I'm going to hopefully develop control over my foot. I'm going to get to know this drum better, like how much pressure do I need to create a fully dead sound, you know, so... Anyway, that's the idea. That's about all there is to do with articulation with the bass drum. If you have a dead-sounding drum with a pillow inside, you're probably just going to have soft and loud and every, you know, the dynamics in between. That's about it. Let's move to the left foot. Same process with your hi-hat foot. Single 16ths, shift into the down, the E, the and, and the over the quarter note. Two notes, three notes, four notes. I'm going to do the same thing. I'm just going to play through all the variations and then improvise using those variations. And in this case, I'm trying to get as crisp and tight of a sound as possible, a consistent closed chick sound. If you haven't done much work on your hi-hat foot, that could take a long time because you have a lot of things. You have to discover how much pressure do you need to use on the cymbals. You know, maybe you need to adjust the spring on your hi-hat stand. All those factors to try to get a crisp, consistent sound with no splashes or minimal splashes. And just the technique of, you know, getting that foot unlocked over a quarter note could take a long time. Luckily, I came up in an era when Bill Stewart was hitting the scene, and he really has some freedom with his hi-hat foot. So early on, I kind of dedicated a lot of time to practicing left foot independence. So just take your time with it. That's just 16. So you do the same thing with triplets. And then you can explore the different nuances. You have close, you have a full splash, you've got a partial sizzle. You've got some dynamic range to mess with. So now I'm just going to improvise a 16th or triplet-based solo using open, closed, partially closed chick sounds with just the left foot. That's a lot of fun and incredibly challenging. I had to start and stop a few times before I got that little bit that wasn't falling apart. So I have a lot for me. You didn't see it because I edited it out, but a lot of things that fell apart when I tried to do triplets against the quarter notes or open-close patterns in different hemiolas over the quarter note, different combinations of splashes and tight chicks. So there's a ton more for me to explore with the left foot over the quarter note, and hopefully a lot for you to explore as well. That is where I'm going to end this lesson. I was going to take it to the next step, but I think there's just too much information there to really go back and isolate and experiment with. So you have a basic quarter note and all the different 16th and triplet combinations with a single limb, either left hand or non-dominant hand, your bass drum foot, your hi-hat foot, using dynamics and articulations and whatever sounds are available on your kit, trying to keep that quarter note super consistent and your subdivisions really precise and accurate, and just be creative and play some interesting little stories, little melodies on your drum set. What I would do, if you've got all that completely fluent, you feel like you're ready, of course you've got tempo to experiment with. We were at 70, so how quickly can you bump up the tempo? I mean, you really have to gauge, like, how fast can you play 16ths with your feet with control and build from there. And then I would try some different ostinatos. So that was just quarter notes. I would also do, like, pick the most common ostinatos you're going to have to play on most gigs. Quarters, ace, 16th notes, offbeat ace, like a disco pattern. And then combinations of 1/8 and 2/16, 1 and 2, and or the opposite, 2/16 and 1/8, 1E and 2E and. Shuffle, boom, 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 dun, 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 dun. I wouldn't do the jazz swing pattern yet because that's a 2-beat pattern. Just think of single beat ostinatos and explore all those. So shuffle all the triplets, kind of like a 12-8 feel. Dun, 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 dun. So go back and just work on all those ideas over those different dominant hand ostinatos. And don't be afraid to explore 16ths over triplets or triplets over the 16ths. Those polyrhythms are pretty common, and there's a lot of challenges involved there. We're going to come back to this in a few weeks and explore the next part of this series. That should keep you busy for about a month if you're really being diligent and being patient, exploring all of your options. So that's single limb ostinato, single limb melodies, practical independence, part one. For this week's Warehouse Pick of the Week, I'm going to feature a pair of ProMark Carter McLean drumsticks. If you don't know about these drumsticks, I've got a short little explanation and demo here. These are great sticks. I got to beta test them when Carter was designing them with ProMark back when I was subbing for him on Lion King. I got to use them in the pit with Lion King for a few, I guess it would have been over a year or so when those were in production and I was still subbing on the show. Great stick, really balanced. It's a big stick, but it actually plays lighter, so I didn't get exhausted by the end of the show, and it's a very demanding show. By the end of the bows, when I was using a 3A, I think, was the stick that he was using before that, I would be worn out because it's a powerful show, lots of drums, very active, and the very last thing is super fast. But when I when he had his sticks in there, it felt, you know, real light and still powerful, but it didn't wear me out. So it's a perfectly balanced stick. That's a unique tip. So here's a demo I made for Drum Factory Direct's website. Go check them out. We have them in stock over at drumfactorydirect.com if you want to check out a pair. Yeah, take a look. This is the ProMark Artist Series Carter McLean drumstick. The Carter McLean stick is made from premium hickory and features a custom tip shape that promotes an array of different sounds depending on the angle that you strike the drummer cymbal. It has a diameter of 0.571 inches, which is somewhere in between a 5A and a 5B, and it measures 16 and an eighth inches, so it gives you a little extra length. All those features combine to make this one of the most versatile sticks in the entire ProMark catalog. If you're looking for a well-balanced drumstick with a versatile sound that will work in a wide variety of applications, from light and delicate fast playing and more powerful aggressive playing where you need a little extra durability, try the ProMark Artist Series Carter McLean drumstick. And that will do it for this week's episode. If you like the show, please give us a 5-star rating, write a review on whatever platform you get the show, or subscribe to our YouTube channel. Drop a comment, share the clips. We've been posting some shorts and some reels, so if you see anything you like, please share it. We appreciate you, and we'll see you next week.